If you want to win,
you need four things:
a strategy, a plan, information, and Sports Grid.
Actually, come to think of it,
you really only need Sports Grid. We're already giving you that other stuff. We just call it
the winning edge.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Give it up to the bookie. The bookie, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. What? Give it up to the bookie. The bookie. Limp Bizkit's actually back, right? I think their record's called Limp Bizkit Still Sucks or something like that. It must have sucked because no one's talking about it, and it's only came out like 4 or 5 days ago. All right, so I'm Morenci, Sirius XM. What? Give it up to the bookie.
About Limp Bizkit. Oh, yeah, the Nookie was it back in the day, Gabe. I respect what you just
said. Well, we replaced Nookie with Bookie. Give it up to the bookie. Why did I bet so wrong? Me and Cam have been, we changed the words to that years ago. We turned it into a gambling song. Because I one day I was like, give it up to the bookie, And I started laughing. I was like, man, this song should be about gambling instead of Nookie. Give it up to the bookie. What? The bookie. What? Why did I bet so wrong? That's a good, that's a good question. Very good question. All right, so speaking of betting, that's what we're here for. So this Green Bay Packer game. So you got to ask yourself, all right. I asked Dr. David Chow this on Sunday night when he was with us, former team physician of the Chargers. And I said, so is it automatic that Aaron Rodgers is going to play even if he passes protocol? Right, which he's going to pass protocol, right? So I said, is it automatic that he plays? And he said, well, not really, but since he's Aaron Rodgers, yes, he'll play, most likely. He'll play. And that's interesting to me because that's the whole thing. So if you pull the trigger here, like, so if Aaron, you bet this game, Aaron Rodgers comes back, how effective is Aaron Rodgers going to be? Like, the people, like, dude, and I'm not saying I don't have a take on this yet. I got to soak all this in, right? But I'm just thinking, yeah, he's Aaron Rodgers and he's great. No one's disputing that. He's also going to be out of sync, all right? He hasn't practiced. He hasn't played in 2 weeks. And, oh, yeah, he had COVID. If you look at him in these interviews, he doesn't look like, you know, he looks pretty pale and beaten down. Even today, I found it interesting. I noticed a couple of times, man, he was sniffling and he was like, oh, I feel good. And, you know what I mean? I don't know. He didn't look great. You know what I mean? He didn't physically look great to me. So there is a thing in football. If you don't practice, you don't play. That's not like new. All right. Like, you know what I mean? Unless it's a playoff game. Right, unless there's just exceptions, like a guy like Derrick Henry or whatever, all right, you're a little beat up, you know what I mean? You know, no one needs to worry about it, but like basically that is a big thing. Coaches are paranoid about it. Number one, you're out of sync, you're coming in here. Now listen, he's a million times better than Jordan Love. So that erases things. But then you get into the injury aspect of it. Don't tell me that Aaron Rodgers' cardio is gonna be 100% on Sunday. And that's one of the remnants of COVID is bad cardio. And he hasn't worked out. How much can he work out? He's got COVID. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, the professor. Class is in session. Steve Merrill's going to rejoin us right now. The topic in our class. The major right now is Aaron Rodgers. And no, not about State Farm and the fine and anything about this stuff. But even if he plays, how effective is he really going to be after not practicing? How healthy is he going to be? How much cardio is he going to have? How much energy is he going to have over the course of 3.5-4 hours? Are they risking him risk to injury? Like, that's, you know, my whole deal is that nobody's really talking about that. I don't know. Is he playing for sure? Like, even if he's able to play, is he playing? Or do they just say, you know what? will bite the bullet one more week. This game's at home. Our defense played great last week. Seattle's defense kind of sucks. We can win this game without you. I think it doesn't. I think it's a moot point. I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be held out. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play. It's pretty clear that they're scared of him. I mean, it is accepted lying. He's lying all year for him. So Aaron doesn't want the. If they lose again, and then, you know what I mean, they start losing momentum, then he's going to get called out. So he's going to play, but how good is he going to play? And then you get into the football god things and just the whole cosmic force of this. Is God going to let him throw four touchdowns and mock the world? Or is he going to pay, you know what I mean? Is he going to throw a bunch of interceptions and play like Terry, you know what I mean? It's an interesting dynamic here. And Russell Wilson is back. Oh, yeah, by the way. Now, listen, Pete Carroll did not put out the Odell Beckham. He was asked point blank, are you interested in Odell Beckham? He said, we'll see. Right? He'll said, we'll see. To me, Odell Beckham in Seattle doesn't make sense. And I like Odell Beckham. But it doesn't make sense to me because you clowns in Seattle, all right? You know what I mean? You might as well have the Stone Temple Pilots call in place. Doesn't matter. You could have Jerry Rice, Odell Beckham. I don't care who you have, man. You don't get the guys the ball anyways. How about you get the ball to DK Metcalf before you worry about Odell Beckham? How's that sound, coach? You already got wide receivers. How about you freaking use them? Odell Beckham in Seattle. I don't think Odell likes grunge music. Late Night Anger Management class continues. Bring it.
This is the Technology Minute with George Capalbo.
A private ride to space. It's all fun and games if you're William Shatner.
In an instant, you go, whoa.
Otherwise, lately, space tourism is having a few technical problems. SpaceX Crew Dragon?
Stinky.
Leaky plumbing?
Oh.
Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic? Grounded by the FAA for airspace violations. And unless you're comped like Shatner for your ride...
This is so weird.
Your one-hour flight? Really expensive! Now there's an alternative. Worldview and Space Perspective are offering up to 12-hour leisurely balloon flights 100,000 feet up to the top of the stratosphere with gourmet meals and the world's highest rooftop bar with separate plumbing. Follow me at G. Capalbo on Twitter and stay tuned to The Technology Minute for more cool stuff like this.
You're a true player. You look for every advantage you can get. Congratulations.
You just found it.
The winning edge. Sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Man for class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com in the house, wagertalk TV, SiriusXM channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Network, somebody 1090. Let's do this thing. We're talking a lot. We got a lot of breakdown. So, Steve, see, I brought up the Jimmy Lake stuff at Washington, and man, like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he hit a kid that's wearing a helmet with like his playbook and a bunch of papers in his hand, and he told him to stop fighting. Like, and then he sort of pushed the kid. Same thing. They wanted to fire him, and there was a big board of directors meeting, and they decided on a one-game suspension, and I think he's got to go to, like, counseling now and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. Like, that's coaching what happened. That he was like, that's coaching. I don't know. Dude, they're going to cancel everybody before we're done, Merrill.
They wanted, I was like, if they, you know, even just reprimanding them was probably extreme, but you're serious that they were talk of firing him for that?
Yeah,
you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, for
you
people
can
that
fire them because they suck. If you want this year, I can get that. But
I mean, they wanted to be more like Washington State and get rid of their coach midseason, right? I mean, this is insane. I mean, it's just what they're doing in the state of Washington with all these football coaches is just beyond crazy. But no, when I watched it, you know, the first thing I thought is, oh man, he's in trouble. Yeah, he ran into that official and he hit his assistant coach pretty hard, and that was none of it.
He shoved the rap pretty good out of the way.
That was the least of the three things, was that he hit his guy with a paper in the face mask. But the ref he bumped, he hit his assistant coach pretty hard, actually. He hit him harder than anybody. I mean, this is absurd. I mean, just absurd. And yeah, nothing else to say. But it's no Woody Hayes. I mean, Woody Hayes just applied for the job, right? For people
okay,
that
yeah, yeah. But this is where people are thinking, oh, Morency's he's hardcore tonight. Even I, Steve, come on. Woody Hayes went too far, bro. He nailed it.
People forget he punched the other team's player, Gabe. It was a Clemson player. And last I checked, he was still in Ohio State. Right. Yeah, that was pretty. Hey, man, to get fired back in the, what was it, early 70s when that happened, you had to pretty much almost kill somebody. So you know it's bad for him. And
that
he was
his last game. He went out like that. That's what he was known for. Punched a kid on Clemson. Guys, younger people, just look it up. Woody Hayes, Ohio State. Is in like the Gator Bowl or something like that. One of those bowl games in the old days.
Woody Hayes punches Clemson player. You'll get a ton of videos because that's what it was. But I can't believe there's talk of firing. Just reprimanding him is absurd, Gabe. Like, I honestly, seriously, watching it, I was like, oh man, he hit that official. He might get penalized for that. That's all I noticed. Like, and then when he copped the player with the papers or whatever, I didn't even think about that. And you and I have a pretty good intuition. Like, if we don't notice something initially, it's probably not something that's a big problem. I mean, it's just like, people just turn, you know, molehills into mountains. It's just insane.
No, you know, you're exactly right, Steve. Like, you can, you know right away. Like, listen, you know, the coach at Rutgers throwing basketballs at players' heads during the practice. That wasn't cool. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's dangerous.
Yeah, like, there's a difference. Now, I know you don't know the facts about this story, and neither do I, because it just broke tonight. But Bob Murray, general manager of the Anaheim Ducks of the National Hockey League, has been placed on leave pending an investigation related to professional conduct. And you know what it is, Steve? Verbal abuse and mental warfare.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And I'm like, so I wanted to dig in, and before I commented, and allegations are he throws things at the office, he sends angry text messages to people 24 hours a day, and he threatens to fire people. Nobody feels safe working. He has a unstable work environment. All right,
well, that's a reason to fire. That's a reason to fire. Right, that's a reason to fire him. Because that's not good for your team. That's not good for your team. But there's, once again, there's nothing illegal.
It's not investigation. There's nothing illegal. All right, the guy's, say he's a hothead. He's out of control. We got to get rid of the guy.
And it's bad for your organization. You should get rid of someone who's everyone hates and doesn't want to work for. That's the whole point of being a GM or a coach or anything, right? You got to get people to rally behind you. But it doesn't mean the guy needs to be investigated or, like, arrested. It's just insane. I mean, there again, like, and if that coach, the Washington coach, is hitting all of his players, they're not going to want to play for him. It's going to hurt the program. He's not going to be doing that. He was trying to get that kid back. He was trying to motivate. He's probably trying to get his attention. Get away. There was no intent. You know, Gabe, we talk about that all the time. You know, it's about intent for me. Like, there was no intent by that coach to do something to that player.
No.
Now, with Bob Murray, it sounds like there is intent to be an a-hole, you know, so it's totally different. But for me, that goes a long way when there's intent, and it's a one-second thing. Intent means a lot.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And, you know, Steve, in the National Hockey League, there's a lot of disturbing things that are coming out, okay, of, like, GMs that have been in the league for a long time that covered this up and covered that up in the past. And they're serious. Yet you throw this out there, and now his name just gets sort of thrown in this. And, like, when you hear this, and put it this way, Steve, when you hear this in today's day and age of in hockey especially, it's like what? Sexual abuse? Like, physical? Like, what happened? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Pending investigation. Like, it makes you seem like a monster, Steve.
Angry text.
Yeah, no, I swear to you, that's the report. Angry text, toxic, Steve, toxic workplace.
I hate the word toxic so
much. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Come on, toxic work, shut up. The guy, he's been in the NHL for 45 years. What do you think? That you're dealing with Mr. Rogers here, Steve? So what? Newsflash, hockey guys are hard asses, Merrill.
And, Gabe, who else are you thinking about right now? In the back of my head, I've got Gruden during this whole conversation, right? Gruden was another one of those old-school coaches. When he came back to the Raiders a few years ago, rumors right away that first season in Oakland that he was losing the team. They don't put up with that type of coaching anymore, you know, like they did 15 years ago. These guys get paid too much. They're all babies. And, you know, that's not why he was run off, but it's throughout all these leagues. And there is an old-school mentality in hockey, as you know, with the older-school North Americans, you know, mostly Canadians and North American, the Americans, you know. And I don't know if the Europeans necessarily have that style. They're a little more finesse. But yeah, this guy's been around, and I think there's still an element of this old school hockey, you know, and it's just still there.
Well, the Euros, they're not as corrupt as we are, Steve. Like, that's one thing. They're not as tainted. Because I'm not defending hockey. I'm telling you, hockey is like, they've got some real problems.
I believe
man.
It. Yeah,
they've got some, no, they've got some real problems. Like, just Steve, off the top of my, dude, there's like seven teams, bro. There's like 30 teams in the league, 31 teams, whatever the hell with Seattle now. It's like six, seven, eight of them, bro. Like, this investigation, that investigation, and some of it's pretty sleazy stuff. All right. But to me, this verbal abuse stuff, and I think they like it because it shields from the more serious stuff, Steve.
That's a good point.
Because I'll tell you what, earlier in the day, Steve, people wanted Gary Bettman's head. They were saying the sexual stuff's gone too far. He needs to pay for this. Because basically, long story short, guys, there was abuse of the Chicago Blackhawks. Everybody knew about it. They all covered it up. But the thing is, then after they covered it up, the guy that abused the NHL player, Kyle Beach, went on and abused a 16-year-old kid after, Steve. And it was just this morning that the NHL told the kid's family, we're not going to pay for any counseling or legal anything for you. They said, it's not our responsibility. And then, boom. So now you have this. So I'm just stating, Steve, oh, he's a big jerk. Well, it's kind of a distraction almost to me. So it's like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Not everyone's right. The same, Steve. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Oh, sexual predator. Like, you know what I mean? Listen, casting couch and a sexual predator is not like walking in a park like Harvey Weinstein and stuff. You know what I mean, Steve? Like, everything's blanketed the same. Everyone's just a monster now right away.
Well, like you said, he's been in the league 45 years, and all of a sudden it comes out today that he's toxic. I have a feeling he's probably been toxic for quite a while. And they've picked today to, like, I think that makes a lot of sense, Gabe. I think it's a distraction. And what's crazy to me, once again, whether it's politics or sports, the media is like little sheep. They can just be herded whichever way people want to push the narrative
and
the story.
He's been a jerk to the media for years, so they love it.
Right, so they love to jump on it.
Perfect
time to do it then.
Even former players are coming out and they're all saying, I've never met a more miserable son of a bitch than Bob Murray. A lot of people are saying that. No one is saying Bob Murray touched me. No one is saying Bob Murray ran me over drunk driving. They're all saying he's a miserable person.
This has been their ace in the hole. This has been the breaking case of fire. And they broke the glass today and they threw him out.
Society is finally, let's just throw him under the bus for being a jerk, right?
Yeah, we've been saving this guy. This is our get out of jail card for like the last 10 years.
We got
it's like
red alert. If being a jerk cancels you, I'm done, bro.
No, but I'll tell you, man, this has been their like emergency, using case of emergency only for the last 10 years. They're like, it's getting out of hand. We got a distraction. Let's throw out the Murray card. I think you're exactly right about that.
I don't want to be, maybe I'll look like a jackass in 2 weeks and you did this and that. But whatever, the guy's been in the league for 45 years, and there's a report out tonight, and the biggest allegation is he sent angry text messages to the people and constantly threatens to fire people.
Toxic workplace.
Yeah, toxic workplace. I don't know. Welcome to the radio and TV industry. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Gabe, have you ever been in a toxic workplace?
God, like...
Have you ever made a workplace toxic?
Yes, I have both. I'm responsible for both sides of it.
Fulfilling prophecy.
More with Merrill on the other side.
Pharrell Coast to Coast.
So last Christmas, I gave my mother-in-law a 100-milligram gummy bear, and she fell asleep for 5 hours on Christmas Day, and my wife hasn't slept with me since.
Oh, really? Well, I think I would get double the sex if I did that to our mother. She wants to keep her comatose as much as possible. Wow, we have a whole different system going.
It's Pharrell Coast to Coast with Scott Pharrell, weekdays 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific, on the home of the Winning Edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network. It has come to our attention that some of you are guilty of
superstition.
Dude, trust us. Winning after an XL pepperoni pie before every game is
just a coincidence.
Take a breath.
And maybe a diabetes test.
We're your home for the Winning Edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Like, anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. Having fun breaking it down with Steve Merrill. But let's get into some games here, Steve. And we can go on and on about Aaron Rodgers now and all this blah, blah. And I don't care about the fines and all this. What I do find fascinating, though, Merrill, is the odds makers don't seem to know what the hell to do with the Green Bay Packer games. And they're schizo with this. Like, look, 2 weeks ago, Steve, Aaron Rodgers was there, but Devontae Adams and Valdez Scantling and Lazard weren't there. and they were getting like 6.5, 7 against Arizona to win a game outright. Then, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers isn't there, but everybody else is there, right? The running backs are there, Dillon, Jones, Davante Adams, Valdez Scantling, you know what I mean? So everybody's back. Randall Cobb, excuse me, everybody's back. Everybody's there. And they cover the number against the Chiefs. And now it appears like Aaron Rodgers is going to be back, and the numbers come down. It's only 3.5. Make up your minds. Do you guys love Aaron Rodgers or not? Like, why is it only 3.5? Like, they're all over the place with this team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Russell Wilson's the big key for Seattle. They weren't very good this year once he got hurt. Different team when he plays. But you also have to worry about the mindset for Green Bay. This is a team that has covered 8 straight games, Gabe, including last week, as you said. The only non-cover was week 1 against the Saints, in which they lost outright 38-3 as a favorite because Rodgers had not played all summer. You know, so the question becomes, does Rodgers just hop back in after a week off and regroup? I think he should be able to. It's not like they were stellar offensively last week. They only put up 7 points in that game against Kansas City.
But he hasn't practiced, Steve. He hasn't been around the team. He hasn't practiced at all.
And, you know, Gabe, you always look for something to break these point spread streaks, right? And obviously last week could have been it.
And Russell Wilson's back.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of unknowns in this game. They had the bye week also, Seattle.
I like Seattle here, Steve. I just think it's one of those deals. And I should note, I was on Green Bay in Arizona, and I love Green Bay against Kansas City. But, God, we got lucky with that late touchdown, but I covered anyways.
You can make an argument. These are the two most important players in the NFL. As far as the difference when they're on the
field. Wilson and Rodgers.
I'm talking about the drop-off when they're not on the field. Yeah. You know, they might not be the two. Like, Mahomes is great, but I think Kansas City might not have as much of a drop-off as either one of these teams.
We just saw Arizona win without Kyler Murray pretty easily.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't put Murray in that category yet. But Wilson is a very underrated quarterback because he doesn't make mistakes. Very efficient, kind of like a Drew Brees. You know, he's smaller, very efficient. And I think there's a huge drop off. But there again, you know, which Russell Wilson will we see? Are we going to see the A game Russell Wilson? He did have the bye, extra time to prepare, but he hasn't played in over a month and a half. So, you know, there's some uncertainty there.
All right, Steve, here's a trend that I discovered while just doing some research and reading as much as I could soak in here. And I don't know if you're aware of this. It's pretty crazy, though. Yet it doesn't surprise me because I think people, Steve, and you're a great numbers guy, and Ralph Michael is one of the best in the business as well. Wage talk. So it's kind of rare, Steve, that you just talked about the Packers. I mean, and the Cowboys were covering all the time. And that was they were due. That was their first non-cover. But a lot of teams don't cover 2 weeks in a row, right, Steve? Like, it doesn't happen a lot. And or teams will not cover 2 weeks in a row. So how about this? Teams who do not cover the previous week facing teams who did cover the point spread the week before are 39-14-1 so far this year, Steve.
Yeah, I say just this year, though. I was going to say how far back.
Just this year. So what do you make of that?
I think it makes some sense because you said schizo earlier. I'm not sure we politically correct can say that anymore. I think schizo is okay. It's an abbreviation. But look at all the road favorites. I think we've had more road favorites, at least from my count, than we've ever had maybe so far this season. There's just, you know, even though there's not a ton of parity, there's some really bad teams. There's really no dominant teams either. So I think that makes sense.
All right, so let's talk a little college basketball here. I want to get your thought. Michigan Wolverines, my Michigan Wolverines, they return Hunter Dickinson. They return Eli Brooks, who's back for his 15th year of college basketball eligibility, I believe. But Michigan are pretty loaded, Steve. And, you know, it's the thing with college basketball futures, it's almost pointless because you got to go through a stupid tournament anyways again, right, Steve?
So yeah, I agree.
So, like, I'm not placing any bet. I like Michigan, but why am I going to bet it when I get the same damn number before March Madness starts?
Maybe so, better.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the point of that? But I do like this Michigan team. But I am speaking about knowing teams and stuff, but I know you know the Buffalo Bulls are a pretty good basketball team, aren't they? Like, they're not terrible. Like, for a MAC team, you know, they've competed against big-time opponents in the past. They went to the NIT. Pretty decent team here. Michigan laying 15.5, 16 points here, Steve. What do you make of the Michigan Wolverines hosting the Buffalo Bulls tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, I think people are going to look at that point spread and be, boy, that's a short number. But yeah, Buffalo's not just as a team, they're a good program. Like you said, they've had some tournament success in the postseason in recent years. Yet it still looks like a class difference for me. Michigan's got Prairie View A&M on deck on Saturday. I mean, it's not like there's any look ahead. I would think this is a focus spot for Michigan. Look, there's always going to be some games. Like tonight, Ohio State got a scare. They only won by one against Akron as a double-digit favorite. If anything, does that maybe wake Michigan up tomorrow? I know you would say there's no correlation between Akron and Ohio State, but that's their arch nemesis in the Big Ten, and they almost lost outright tonight. I think if anything, that could be a wake-up call for Michigan in a strange way.
Let me throw this one at you, Steve. It's not. It's right in your wheelhouse. William and Mary at Wake Forest.
Yeah, and in fact, I'll be at the William and Mary game this Friday before we talk on Friday night. They've got their home opener 2 days after it.
Really?
Yeah, they're picked last by a lot of people in the
So you're supporting CAA. The alum, huh? You're going to the home opener. Huh? That's hardcore of you, Steve.
Season tickets for 21 years behind the visiting bench, first row, man.
And, really?
I believe they play American. I have to check. There'll be some lines on that. Shoot, like you said, there's lines on every game now, so we'll have to see. But, William Mary's really supposed to be down a notch this year, but Wake is not a powerhouse team this year, and the line is only 14.5, and it's actually dropping at some of the sharper books to 14 tonight. So there's actually been a little bit of early money on William & Mary. I do think they're better than the last place predicted finish. They had a freshman last year, Gabe, a true freshman that was probably the seventh best freshman in the country, Kuchera, like a swing forward. And I've yet to see him play in person because last year everything, was closed.
Oh, yeah.
William & Mary, they also might have been the only team I can think of last year. They had four shutdowns in which they missed multiple games last year, like two games or more, four different times. So they could be a little bit of a surprise team maybe if they come together better than expected. They had a guy, Lowy, transferred as a grad student back home to Minnesota. He was their key guard, so that's a loss. But they have some young guys coming in.
Steve Merrill with us, and of course, me and Steve had some fun talking about the college football rankings, so I'm not going to bring them up, Merrill. Although
honestly, Gabe, I have not even looked at them yet. That really is how little I pay attention to them in all seriousness.
Well, you know what? I can't take them serious at all, Steve, now. Actually, that they have Michigan, ranked ahead of Michigan State. No.
Yeah, I mean, but that's kind of what we were talking about last week.
I know.
If you use that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon logic, everybody beats everybody at some point, you know.
So but that's where it gets the thing, tricky. Steve. Because, and I swear to God, Steve, even ESPN guys tonight couldn't help it. They started getting mad at each other about it.
I love it. That's what we want. We want chaos.
Yeah, no, and they did because somebody. Pollard, the guy from Georgia, said it's the stupidest thing ever. Michigan State beat them. and then someone else said, yeah, but Michigan State just lost to an unranked Purdue team. And you know what? Michigan looked like the better team. And they started really getting mad, man.
Here's what's unfair, too. That game was at Michigan State, right? And Michigan's still up by 16. And they're still up by 16 in the second half, you know? So that's why I was saying it's not just about results. And I know you know that.
It's
about how you look on the field. But, yeah, that's a textbook example, though, isn't it? I'd love to see it happen, actually.
Oh, yeah. I just watched their little thing. It's only like a 3-minute bit, actually. It's pretty funny. They started. Joey Galloway was pissing them off the most. Galloway agreed that Michigan should be ranked ahead. Galloway predicted it. He said Michigan will be ranked ahead of Michigan State. And they're like, that's stupid. They lost to them last week. And he goes, you'll see. And he goes, they should be, too. And they got really mad. It was good.
What about both of them ahead of – I'm looking at the rankings now. What about both of them ahead of 9-0 Oklahoma, who's only eighth? That's got to shock some people.
They're going to start rioting out there in Oklahoma soon.
Like, Sooner Lisa, I know you're listening, Sooner Lisa. We had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I'm not on the committee, unfortunately. So, listen, before we get you out of here, Michigan and Penn State, this game's basically a pick 'em, right? You're going to love it, Steve. FanDuel, 0.5 minus 110 or Moneyline minus 110.
I do love it. We got to do that podcast. We talked about it for months with the FanDuel Sportsbook director. You and me and him, we got to have him on because I want to pick his brain about that
stuff. What's the deal with that? I'm going to say, why you do that? Why don't you just put PK next to that?
Because we just like the playoff rankings, they do it because we just talked about it for 15 seconds, right? That's exactly why they put Michigan ahead of Michigan State. How much publicity did they get out of it tonight, right? They want chaos, I'm telling you.
I guess for the teaser player, it makes a half point difference for the
I didn't think about that, Gabe.
Yeah, Steve. Hey,
that's actually a great point. That might exactly be why. No, that's a great point. Because some of the sharp books, offshore back in the day used to do minus 9 plus 120, so that you couldn't get it down to 2.5.
Did we just discover this? That it's maybe some weird
that
teaser thing
sense,
that they're
Gabriel.
Trying to screw people on that half point so you don't get it at 7?
Well, take the other team then. You can take the other team and get an extra half point, right? There's always two ways to look at it. But that's interesting because, you can't take them down like to plus 7. They'd get to plus 6.5, right, on a 6-point teaser. I mean, a 7-point teaser, they'd go to plus 6.5 instead of plus 7, which isn't a huge deal, but I mean, I guess, yeah, anyway, that Michigan, Penn State, someone will win this game. It will not land on zero is my prediction. And Penn State's a team that a lot of people have kind of swept under the rug, but they're still a very dangerous team. This is a dangerous spot for Michigan this week. Penn State does not run the ball nearly as well. You just look at that rushing edge, jumps off the paper at you. Michigan averages about 150 yards a game more, about 130 more a game.
The big wins for Michigan have been few and far between, and quite frankly, it was a letdown against Michigan State that they did not win for Harbaugh, but they can, you know what I mean? They kind of control their own destiny here. Michigan State's going to lose another game. If they're able to beat Penn State, it's just you get the feeling this is the type of game Michigan haven't won in the past. I think they can. I think they can get this one done. And I don't recommend college teasers usually, but this is going to be a close game, just like that Michigan State game was. Yep. This game's coming down to the wire. So that plus 7.5 might not be too bad.
It might land on zero.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Merrill with his wager talk. Great stuff, Steve. So college basketball, NBA. I know you're crushing the NBA over at Wager Talk. Keep that up. We'll catch up with you later in the week.
Thanks, Gabe.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
Sports Professor Rick Caro inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your daily numbers game. 40 years of toiling here in Florida, failed referendums, last-minute legislative vetoes. Everybody wanted gambling, good for tourism. Well, it's finally here on the precipice, the doorstep. Governor DeSantis negotiates with the Indian nations, and the gaming contract allows 4 locations in the state of Florida, as long as they go through the Hard Rock Casino Sportsbook, to get profits of 60% with these relationships. They tie into that sportsbook, and off they go. Bottom line as well is, it's the first time it's happening in the state, kicking off a sports business club of the Palm Beaches on Wednesday to celebrate the successes of sports and obviously other issues. Look for that to happen very quickly. Sports Professor Rick Caro, Daily Numbers Game.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need, strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
On you. No, don't look at me. Run. No, don't come over here. Boy.
Level 3. Quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio continues. I am Renzi. Throwing it down to Los Angeles Kings. Beat the Montreal Canadiens tonight 3-2. Hit or miss for us tonight on the ice. Listen, we were on the Kings last night in Toronto. I didn't think they would be able to go back-to-back in Toronto and in Montreal, but I brought it up earlier. I think the fact that they can't go out anywhere, it helps these teams. It really does. So let's get caught up. We didn't get to Nikolai Jokic yet. So Jokic gets one game. You know what? Nothing wrong with what happened. It provided some fodder today for people to talk about the NBA. And, you know, Jokic sent a message to the rest of the league not to mess with him. There was some entertainment. The Jokic brothers created their own Twitter account to respond and to step up. The Morris brothers were on Twitter. So Marcus was the one that stepped up in the morning and basically stated, so you pushed them from behind, noted. You know, type of thing. And he had like a pencil. You know, I took note that you just cheap shot at my brother in his mind. Jokic brothers had their own Twitter account saying, you know what, I wouldn't be threatening anybody. And there was a little back and forth. I thought that Markieff Morris, the one, the Morris that actually got hit, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet, but he actually said Joker won, smooth nothing. Right? So he sort of diffused the situation a little bit. That is until they see each other. Because, yeah, don't think for a second. Marcus Morris will go after him. You know, I enjoyed today, and we encourage people to watch the grid, but I'm flicking around, and you know what? I actually do listen to the network, but, you know, I got TVs on with a sound down, and I saw they were talking about this today. I like Richard Jefferson and Perkins, so I don't know. What's the show? The Jump, the one that Rachel Nichols got jumped from. That show. Oh, God, I'm choking here. Somebody get Joe Rogan on the phone, man. Oh, need a doctor. God, so, yeah, so that Jump show, whatever the hell it's called, NBA Today, the Jump, I don't know what it's called. But they were talking about it, and Kendrick Perkins is, you know, Kendrick Perkins is one guy. He did used to cheap shot people, and he was in the middle of things. And he raised a very good point in which he said, listen, he said a lot of dudes in the NBA are just sort of all talk and stuff, right? And his line was they couldn't crack like a Rice, you know, a Rice Krispie. And said these guys couldn't pop a grape. And if you notice, too, Jimmy Butler, you know, will see you out back and stuff. If you see the video, it's like, what do you need to see him out back for? He's right there. Right? He's right in front of you. And you see, like, the Miami Heat. Did you see the picture, Matias, of the Miami Heat? In which they were in the room standing at the door all together and stuff, like waiting for the Nuggets type of thing. And
I did, Gabe, I did, and that was funny. It reminded me of the Clippers and the Rockets when they had the little feud and they were chasing around each other around in the back of the locker rooms.
That was completely different. That was actually real, real. That was different where those guys didn't play around for real, real. Like the Clippers and... when Chris Paul went back there, I mean, those guys, they tried to break into the room. LAPD had to get involved. Like, people were ready to get guns out and stuff. Listen, in past years, there's been incidences in the NBA. The NBA doesn't like you knowing about it. And they really, like, look at Gilbert Arenas, man. Right? Gilbert Arenas. Dude, I used to have Gilbert Arenas on the show on Sports Rage in the early days and when Gilbert was in the league. He was the nicest guy ever. Like, remember he used to give his jersey away and his shoes away after every game, stuff like that. And the NBA doesn't like it when you pull a piece, like in the room or in the tunnel after and stuff. But that time with the Clippers, like the cops, that was real, real. Because guys were saying, I'm going to get you in the parking lot after and stuff like that. That's where it gets real. And you know if a local player has a gun. Because the thing, the Heat players wouldn't have a piece on the road with them. For the most part, I would assume. Right? So, that's one thing. But it was just funny to see, like, the Heat players, you know, and that posture after together. And it's funny because one by one, and I've watched the video 10 million times, nobody did anything. All right? Nobody did anything. Kyle Lowry sort of went up and started bitching at the referee about it. Kyle Lowry had the ball in his hand, and I don't know what you want Lowry to do. He's an old man, and you know he's not even that big. So, Lowry's there. Tyler Hero was the closest one to it. He didn't do anything. Hero just sort of stood there and looked like kind of, you know, scared for a second type thing, like Jokic was going to go after him next. And Bam is the big one, right? So Bam is behind the play, you'll notice. Bam sees it 1,000,000%. He saw the whole damn thing. He saw Morris hit Jokic, and watch, Bam saw it all. Bam didn't do anything. Bam came in and did the little sort of fake half push thing, right? He didn't do anything. And Jimmy Butler didn't really see it. Jimmy Butler saw the after effect of it, sort of. Didn't really see it, and then went off. Right, so like I said, so few... And like I said, so Jimmy, if you were that mad, you could have like done more at the time. You don't want the brothers getting involved in all this type of stuff. You don't want it to turn ugly, right? You don't want it to turn ugly. And to be real, this goes back old school kind of here, in which guys, everybody, you know, let's grow a pair. It's not the end of the world. Somebody got shoved to the court, right? You know, he embellished it as well, right? I watched that too. Morris embellished it. He did. And listen, not that Jokic didn't hit him hard, but Morris, like, sort of did the old, like, you know, long jump when he got hit. Like, he definitely embellished it, right? So, I'm not saying he didn't hit the hard, the wood hard, but he did sort of, like, I don't know. I think he just thought, like, he just sort of got bumped and he was going to embellish it. And instead of getting bumped, he got smoked, right? He got nailed. Like, I'm not disputing he got hit hard. I'm just saying, if you watch, Morris sort of, you know, he sort of flew into it, like he flew with it kind of thing, right? He flew with it. But even Morris said, hey, Joker won, smooth nothing, see you again type. Like, you know what I mean? Well, he had a smiley face type thing. Guys, in the old days, man, it wasn't even that old, long time ago, but it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, I remember, like, Larry Bird when he threw the ball at Bill Laimbeer's head, right? I swear, I don't even think they kicked him out of the game. I think it was just a flagrant foul. Like, they were all standing around, like, basically arguing, like, under the basket after a play. And Larry Bird, bro, threw the basketball like it was a baseball, Matthias, all right? Like, I mean, I don't know if you know, like, what it was like in the old days. And not even that long, like, that old ago. Like, right?
Oh, so, no, of course, Gabe. Those are the best days, Gabe. Those are the best days.
Larry Bird threw the basketball like a baseball at Laimbeer's head, bro. Like, but, like, he was standing, like, basically, like, 5 feet away from him, bro. You know what I mean? Like, Laimbeer was running his mouth and talking to the, like, to other people. And Bird just had enough and said, like, you know what? I've had enough of this guy. And just smoked him in the head with the ball. Smoked him. Oh, it was great.
Those are the best, Gabe. When the player throws the ball against the other player's head, those are the funniest. And I love it when Charles Barkley threw the ball at Shaq's head. You know, that was another great one. And then the whole brawl ensued after.
One of my favorite, now I'm going to upset all Kobe fans, but one of the great times, too, was Chris Childs yeah. slapped Kobe in the face. He was like, he just slapped Kobe. Kobe was in shock, man. Chris Childs was like, what? What? All right. All right. You want to play dirty with me? And Chris Childs on the Knicks at the time just slaps Kobe in the face. Kobe took it. That was good. So I saw Perkins talking today, and Perkins was funny. So they showed like a highlight reel of Perkins, like, cheap-shotting people. And Perkins was like, oh, well, that guy deserved it. And he's like, this guy did that. And there was one, Perkins threw someone to the floor, bro, like, hard, man. And Perkins said, I felt bad for that. Like, it was funny. He goes, I did feel bad for that one. He goes, I didn't mean, you know, he goes, that one got a little out of control. And but he basically said, in the NBA now, you know you're only going to get shoved. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do stuff. And Jokic only gets a game. And Windhorst brought it up. Windhorst brought it up, in which he said Adam Silver has a reputation for being soft for this stuff. Like, did you know the league doesn't even have a head of discipline now? They never replaced the guy. They don't have a head of discipline. So, and for, I don't know, Silver's too nice. Like, he's such that nice guy. I think Jokic should have got, like, basically, I do and I don't. I'm cool with one because I'm old school. But I'm telling you now, it opens up the door for me, Matthias. I'd be like, well, if it's worth, like, basically, if I really didn't like someone in the NBA or someone really pissed me off, bro, it's totally worth it for one game. Smoke them from behind for one game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's like four games, it's like, all right, I can't do that. Even two games, you'll start thinking, man, I'm going to lose like $600,000 in game checks. One game, why not, man? You know, Jokic gets a night off, load management, and you get a free shot in. Why not?
I like the one game, Gabe. You know, I heard people thinking he was going to get 5 to 6, and I thought that was way overboard. Yeah, it was.
I thought he'd get two. Time,
yeah, two would have been lenient as well. I think two or one would have been perfect. I don't know about the whole 5-game or 6-game. I thought that was ridiculous.
No, that was excessive.
It also teaches you, man. Don't mess with the bigs. Don't mess with the bigs. Yeah. You could get hurt.
Yeah, and like I said too, but now. Now, hey, Silver, you got to tell Jokic to tell your goon brothers to chill out, huh? Like, those guys, like, seriously, like, if you're Jokic, man, you got to tell your brothers, like, listen, don't kill these guys in the parking lot or anything, hey? Like, don't do anything drastic. Like, you got to say, hey, this is just basketball, bro. Like, remember last year in the playoffs, they nearly ran on the court, man. These guys got to learn, hey, your brother's fine on the court, all right? Like, and another thing is, too, like, you know the Morrises are going to be packing in Miami now in Florida, right? And you know the Jokic brother's going to go to the damn game. When's that game in Miami anyways?
That's yeah, we got to figure that out, Gabe.
That's going to be must-see.
That's going to be scheduled television viewing right there.
You better put, like, a ring of security around those. But, man, it's just the whole thing. Like I said, it's all cool, but you can't get family members involved, man. You know what I'm saying? You can't get, like, brothers involved. That's the thing with Rondo's brother. Rondo's brother's always causing, like, Rondo's brother picks fights with players and stuff. That's when it leads to, listen, I'm going to see you outside after. And if everybody's got a gun, you got a problem. Then you end up like Gilbert Arenas hosting a podcast instead of playing in the NBA. You don't want that. Yeah, you don't want that. Let's be real. The Morris brothers have been getting away with cheap shots for years. Everybody's happy that Jokic did it. Late night anger management class. Michael Jordan's not impressed. Come on.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
1983, Marvelous Marvin Hagler retains his world middleweight boxing title with a 15-round unanimous decision over Roberto Duran.
He wouldn't come at me the way how we planned, so I had to change up. That's what a mark of a good fighter, that you can still change up in the inside. A lot of fighters can't. They're thrown off stride.
For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
Opinions. Everybody's got one.
You know the rest.
The trick is finding one that's actually backed up by expert analysis and accurate information.
The word is trust.
And we've got plenty of it to go around.
Get the winning edge.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
You think I'm dead, but I'm not.
But I'm not. Late night anger management class, 3-minute warning. We're wrapping it up. Quick as 180 minutes of Sports Talk Radio. Yes, it is true. As Pocket QB in our chat says, don't mess with people from war-torn countries. That is true. That's the thing. Like, people think that Jokic is some, like, big, goofy white dude and stuff and chubby. And, like, remember, he's the Joker and stuff. It's like, man, I don't know if people know about, like, the Serbs and the Croatians and what happened. And what this guy grew up in and stuff and around. If you read about his childhood, like, he grew up, like, in the dark and bombs and, you know what I mean? Like, there were war crimes and atrocities that happened in that war, right? It's over-the-top stuff. So he's not going to be fearful of, like, Jimmy Butler running his mouth at him, right, on an NBA court. And I've seen a lot of debate today online and people talking about who's tough and who's not in the NBA and all that. The fact of the matter is, for my money, the toughest guy in the NBA is Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka. I retweeted a video of Serge Ibaka, like, nearly, I don't know, who was it? The kid on the Hawks, man. Like, the kid, some kid on the Hawks, like, tried to trip Ibaka. And he was, like, a rookie or a second-year kid. Like, Ibaka literally, like, nearly killed him on the court. Like, it was scary, actually. Like, Ibaka, Serge Ibaka can go from, like, 0 to, like, 160 in a freaking heartbeat, man. I know. Like, he's one of my favorite players. He's not the same now. He's, you know, injuries and stuff caught up to him. And I don't know. It's just at once kind of thing. But thing is, though, Ibaka, he, you know, there'd be times where, like, he'd get sort of surly with the Raptors even. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I think Nick Nurse realized, listen, this guy is really nice guy and he's really cool if you don't piss him off, right? I used to talk about it. I was like, listen, guys, you need to start him because he gets pissed off if you don't, all right? And Serge in a good mood is a great player. Serge can be disconnected and stuff, but he's another case. Serge Ibaka's from Congo. Same thing. NBA smack talk in Congo. Yeah, I'll take Congo. You know what I'm saying?
Since you were a little kid, you've always loved sports.
So have we.
One of us. One of us. One of us.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.